Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Amy Newmark, your stories, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Messages from Heaven, Miracle Stories as well. We'll be back with those in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Amy, have you noticed that there's a human need to accept these stories, truly to want to desire them and want them to be real?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of the people who wrote stories for our book said they never ever believed that you could have these messages from heaven until it happened to them. And of course, it happened to them at a time when they really wanted to believe because they had lost somebody and they didn't want to give up that connection altogether. So there's a very human need to have this peace and comfort from having these experiences.
Give us another story, Amy, before we go to phone calls. Do you have one?
Yeah, you know, we haven't talked yet about the stories we have about going to heaven and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd tell you one of those also.
Okay.
And I actually started the book with this story. It's written by a woman named Christy Johnson, and an awful thing happened to her. Her ex-husband, who it turned out had a substance abuse problem, took their 2-year-old and 5-year-old sons out for the day, you know, because he had the shared custody, and he had an accident, and both boys were, you know, severely injured. Turned out the 2-year-old didn't make it, and the 5-year-old was in the hospital, and, you know, Christy was visiting her 5-year-old, Garrett, and after a few days, with the funeral about to happen, she realized she had to discuss this with Garrett. She had to tell him that Jake didn't make it. And Jake said, Garrett said, "Mom, I already know." She said, "How do you already know?" And he says, "After the accident, I got to go to heaven with Jake. Jake got to go in, but God told me it wasn't my time."
Wow.
So there wasn't any way for this kid to know that his brother died because they were separated, you know, 2 ambulances. You know,
yeah.
There was no way for him to know. So they both spoke at Jake's funeral, and she said that her son Garrett, who is now 19 because 14 years have passed since the accident, has never stopped having that peace that just came from him. And it's made her much more peaceful and much more accepting of the death of the 2-year-old. And she says, "As much as I long to understand more about what happened, one thing I know for sure, heaven is flowing with peace and joy because Garrett came back with a lifetime supply." So, and we have several stories about people who went to heaven and came back. So that's another interesting part of the book. And that also is very comforting to people because they do want to believe that there is this comforting, happy place where their loved ones can go and where they will eventually go and be reunited with their loved ones.
Do you find that some people, when they hear these stories, Amy, get truly emotional over them?
Yeah, people tell me that they just get, you know, chills or they get shivers from them. And some people tear up at certain of the stories. I know that I did when I was reading them, and I still tear up now when I read some of them, even though I've read them so many times and I edited them and I know them inside out and they still affect me.
Well, they sure do. Let's go to some calls here. We'll continue chatting. We'll go to Sue in Chico, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Sue, go ahead.
Hi. I want to tell you a quick experience that happened to me last night, and I had no idea why until this morning. My house was filled with guardian angels that I could feel. I happened to be a person without sight, and I didn't know why they were here. I got a phone call this morning. One of my closest friends' dads went to be with God yesterday.
Oh my.
And that's why the angels were in my house.
That's right.
And I wanted to share that.
That's true. Has this ever happened to you before, Sue? First time?
Yes.
Oh, it has?
Yes.
Well.
But these beings just filled my house, and I felt them. I actually felt them touching me. And it was just wild, and I thought, what is going to happen to me? You know, why are they here? And I found out this morning that one of my closest friends' dads, whom I know pretty well, had passed away yesterday.
There you go. Thanks for sharing that with us, Sue. Have you come to any conclusions, Amy, about all of this?
I have come to the conclusion that you can't explain these things away. So I have to accept these stories, even if you could explain some of them away. A lot of them you can't. So I have to be open-minded and accept that things happen, and we can't necessarily explain why, but things happen. And if you believe in ESP, why couldn't you also believe in some of these?
Sure.
I mean,
well, you know what? These may never be explained. It may be one of those things where you just have to accept it and move on with your life.
I think it's a wonderful thing, though, to think that you could have some continued connection with your deceased loved ones if that's something that you really need to keep you going. Based on the stories in this book, you really can have that.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Let's go next to North Carolina. Ron's with us, east of the Rockies. Hey, Ron, go ahead.
Oh, great to talk to you, Amy and George. I have a very interesting story for you as well, and you might even want to consider doing an entire show on the larger aspect. But, George, you've had a PhD on, and I can't remember what book he wrote, but it was like Experiments in Something, and it was talking about communications with people in their past lives and people who have passed on. I'm sure you remember.
Was it Stephen Schwartz?
I think it was, but there are several of them. But anyway, let me
All right, go ahead.
Story a little, because I have a very dear girlfriend, and she's talked to dead people ever since she was, you know, a toddler. And it's a little weird having a relationship with someone like that who can do that. But she did something even more remarkable, which leads you to the conclusion that not only do people, when they pass over, stick around, but they also are conscious of what's going on in our reality, in our world. And the details of this are that she was approached by another friend who's a public figure because he's written a book. His name is Dale Pond. And that book is about John Keeley and John Keeley's secrets and his development of the dynosphere. You may have heard about it. He's sort of almost a contemporary of Nikola Tesla, maybe a few years before. But he created this device called the dynosphere, which is really a free energy machine that would turn and was used as a power takeoff to turn machines and machine lathes and things like that. Well, she communicated with Keeley's spirit. Now, understand, he died, I believe, in 1897. And she communicated with him and downloaded, so to speak, over a period of about 2 years, the technical specifications to rebuild the dynosphere. Now, understand, the dynosphere was one of these devices that the U.S. government scooped up and put in a black box and put it into Warehouse 54 or whatever you want to call it. And it was there are none in existence anymore. But she downloaded the specs, and during this period of time when he almost spoke to her, he would say things sort of like, in my time, we used cotton balls for this, and today you can use linen or rayon because, you know, it meets the same specifications. So it indicated that whatever she was getting across the barrier from the other side was a spirit that was aware of the new materials that we were developing today that would satisfy the same requirements as the way he built the machine back in 1897. And I thought that was really, really amazing. And his work has been documented in a book, and it's about understanding and using the science of sympathetic vibration. And it's about the universal laws never before revealed in John Keeley's secrets. So this is very interesting to me. And my girlfriend has written a couple of books, and even though they haven't taken off, I was thinking maybe it'd be something that that Amy might be interested in, because one of them is named Friendly Advice from the Universe. And it's about her communications with angels and angelic beings, giving us very, very pertinent information that we can use in our everyday life.
Well, and that's her next book. Amy, can people email you through the Chicken Soup website?
Yeah, they can go to the Chicken Soup website, and then they'll see how to reach our webmaster, and my emails go through the webmaster.
Okay.
And also that your girlfriend, Ron, could submit a story on our website. Does she have any technical knowledge? How did she know how to interpret the technology that he was explaining to her?
I think he hung up.
He hung up. Okay.
Yeah. All right, good. Let's go next to New York City. Ben, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
How you doing, George? Amy,
great.
Nice to talk to you. Yeah, this involves my father, who passed away about almost 13 years ago this coming week, actually, after suffering a stroke during heart surgery. We took care of him for about a year, and then he passed away. And he was always a big fan of the old songs and nostalgia. And he always used to refer to his deceased family members as "that old gang of mine." Gee, would I give the world to see that old gang of mine, and "Heart of My Heart," which also has a line about that old gang of mine. And he also used to talk about the old time radio and people that used to be famous on old time radio, and nobody even heard of them anymore. And it just happened that for many years, I used to go up to WOR Radio in New York. A friend of mine was an engineer. Mm-hmm. And sit in the booth and listen to Joe Franklin do his nostalgia radio show. And at my father's wake, my cousin Joe, who used to be the life of the party and play the guitar and sing those old songs, and everybody used to join in, and his son were standing in front of the coffin, and I was explaining to them that I had this big flower heart there, and I had the banner on it that said "Heart of My Heart," and I explained to him why Dad used to refer to the family and what the significance of that song was. So, sadly, about a year later, my cousin Joe, who was in his 60s, he passed away from cancer. And part of the bits that I used to do on Joe's radio show were movie reviews and around Academy Award time, and it happened to be that time that my cousin passed away. I used to go up there and we used to do our Academy Award predictions. The day that my cousin was buried happened to be the Saturday night that Joe's show was on, and it was the day before the Academy Awards. So I went up there to do my little bit, and they would, you know, put me on in the middle of the night, maybe about two or three a.m. And it was always my habit to bring a cassette tape to give to the board operator to record my little bit from my archives.
Mm-hmm.
And just before I was supposed to go on, I handed my tape to the board operator. And just as I was about to go in, his friend, the producer, came out and said, "Look, Ben, we're just going to play one more record." And he handed a disc to the engineer to put on the old turntable. And Joe started going on in the booth about how there were many old-time radio people that were very famous and nobody's ever heard of them again. And they put on the record, and the tunes, it was three songs that the guy did. It was a medley. It was "Heart of My Heart," "That Old Gang of Mine," and "If I Had My Life to Live Over." And I nearly fell out of the chair, because somehow that message, when my cousin was buried, got there, and they used Joe Franklin as the instrument to tell me that the message had gotten through and I should not worry about Dad or Cousin Joe.
That's magical. It really is. And you just can't explain it. And there's just way too many of them for it to be just pure synchronicity. There's something else going on, Amy. It's almost as if there's somebody out there taking care of this. It really does. Let's go to Alan in Garden City, Kansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, George. I would like to tell you, I guess it was a dream. My grandmother had came to me in a dream, a very, very vivid dream, and she was boarding a train to go to Chicago. I was probably about 8 years old, and she had this look on her face, and she was just waving by, didn't say anything. She was just waving by and had this peaceful look on her face. She had passed within that week, and my grandfather had passed about 12 months prior. They migrated from Mexico back in the 30s to work the railroads, and had this vivid dream. I woke up that morning at the breakfast table. I had told my father about this dream, and I remember him dropping his spoon, and he kind of turned white. Back in the 30s, late 30s, she would actually take the train to go visit my grandpa, Camilo, up in Illinois, and that's where he was born at, in Rock Island, Illinois. So I never forget this dream, and I'll never forget the look on my father's face, because I had no way of knowing this, that she would take the train to Chicago. I was probably about 8 years old at the time. I thought I'd just share that with you.
Yeah, and you would never know it unless you were helped or told. You know, Amy, you could probably do another book just from these calls.
I was just getting chills listening to that story. That was great.
Have you come up with a scientific explanation? You know, it would be a great book. Well, maybe you can do it under the Chicken Soup series, but I'd love to get real scientists like Stephen Schwartz, people like that, to comment on just why this is happening. I wonder what they'd all say. Pure scientists who are skeptics, who just don't believe if anything like this has ever happened to them. I wonder if it changes their life.
Yeah, maybe if it happened to them, they would have a different opinion.
That's right.
That's what so many of our writers said. They never would have believed it until it happened to them.
And once it happens, they're changed forever.
Yeah, they get very open-minded. They start to realize there are things that happen that cannot be explained.
Our first-time caller is Linda in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Linda, go ahead.
Hey, nice to talk with you. I've never called before.
Well, I'm glad you got through. Go ahead.
Yeah, me too. I've just got a story. I've listened to you for several years now, and I wanted to call in and share it. But I wanted to try to be on the right subject matter and not just crash. So this is a story back in, 1988. I had started a job at a doctor's office, very small country office, and it was just me and the doctor and his assistant, and we all just done everything. And she was so difficult for me to work with, to get along with. I had near nervous breakdown. She would just be so ugly to me. But anyway, time went by, and she had took her family to a wrestling match in Birmingham, and on the way back just had a horrendous accident. And there was like 9 people. Her whole family was killed. Her, both her children, her niece. It was terrible. And she had been going through nursing school trying to get her degree and working. And so we were just upset at work. And doctor asked me, he said, "Are you going to the funeral home tonight?" And I said, "Well, no, Dr. Thomas, because everybody knows that she and I had a lot of conflict. And out of respect for the family, it'd probably just be best if I didn't go." And so I left it at that. I come home and I go to bed, and I have this dream that it's not like a dream, but yet I know I'm not awake. And she has on a beautiful nursing, her whole nursing uniform, the hat, the pin, the everything.
Yeah.
And she's just in a fog. And she says, she wakes me up and she says, "Linda, I need you to forgive me." And I said, "Oh, Patsy, please, I am so sorry that this happened to you. You know, I was just so sorry," and I was. And she said, "That's okay, I just need you to forgive me." And I said, "Well, sure, that, you know, gosh, that's not even an issue." And she said, "Okay, please tell my mother that I'm okay."
See, it's magic when it happens like that. We're at the break, but we'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Full Moon Fridays underway. When we come back, though, we'll take your final phone calls with Amy Newmark as we talk about Chicken Soup for the Soul, Messages from Heaven, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Amy Newmark, and your phone calls as well. Amy, when you were putting this all together, tell me about the stories that didn't make the book. I bet they were equally exciting, weren't they?
There were plenty that were equally exciting, but were just not very well written. When you get thousands of submissions, you can be really picky. So we really did pick the best ones. And then, of course, we did ferret out the ones where we thought the people might be making them up because they were just trying to get into a book.
Well, that's a good point. You have to be very careful with that. Let's go to Lone Rock Walk, Wisconsin. Hey, Casey, go ahead. Lone Rock.
Hi. Amy, my mom has bought all of your books, and she's been handing them out at Christmas for years.
Thank you.
But but I don't know, if, George, if you remember, a few months ago I called in and I told the story about my dad and the ringing coffee cup after he passed away.
Yes. Great story.
Yeah, something happened after that, too, where we were telling my daughter about that, how, you know, I had, a week before he died, I had said, you know, someday when you die, you got to let me know if there's another side. And then the day after his funeral, I let a balloon go, and I just said real quick, let me know if you get it. Came back inside, and my coffee cup was ringing like a bell. You could hear it across the room. And so we were telling my daughter that story, and my mom started telling her a story about years ago when they were in bed sleeping, middle of the night. He just sat up in the middle of the night and just put his arms out and just started singing, I'm the most beautiful, or I'm the happiest girl in the world, that old song. And so it's been like a little inside joke for them. And just as soon as she stopped, you know, finished telling the story, that song came on the radio. And then directly after that was his favorite song. And then directly after that was the song that always reminded me of him, all in a row. And you could, for years, you know, we would go without hearing either one of, you know, any one of these songs, all together, all right after we told the story. It was just too much.
That's a good chicken soup story.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, Casey, thanks. And again, you just can't explain it. Let's go west of the Rockies, Kat in Shelley, Idaho. Hi, Kat. Thank you for calling.
Hi, George and Amy.
Hi.
I've got a master's degree in health education, so I do health hand readings. And I picked up an old book by Kiro, who was an 18th century palmist. He said you could see the guardian angels in your hands. And so I started checking that out, and it's true. If you want to see who your guardian angel is, you look in your left hand, and there's a line that's on the inside of your lifeline. It runs kind of parallel to lifeline, but it jogs over and touches on your lifeline at the age you were when they died. So what you do is hold a business card straight down in between your index finger and your middle finger down to where your lifeline is, and that's age 20. And then every eighth of an inch is a year after that. So you can look in your hand and see who your guardian angel is.
That's a good point.
Now, are you... Now, George, would you like to find your, it's in your left hand only, who your guardian angel is in your
yeah.
left hand.
Yep.
And then if you've ever had a visit from a guardian angel or from some kind of spiritual being, it's in your right hand. And I've got, do you want a story, Amy? I've got 150 of them.
Well, give us just one.
Well, look in your left hand, George, and see if you got, when did your Aunt Corrigula die?
Oh, geez.
Well, at what age were you?
Some time ago. Gosh, I was in my 20s.
Oh, was in your 20s?
I was in my 20s, yeah.
Well, look for a line that runs kind of parallel to your lifeline that comes down and ends on your life. You read your lifeline from the in between your thumb and your index finger going down to your wrist. So your thumb and your index finger would be about age 10.
Well, I've got two of them, so I don't know which one. Which one's the lifeline? The longer one?
No, the lifeline's the one that goes around your thumb.
Okay.
The other one's your headline goes straight across your hand.
Okay.
So you look at about straight down from in between your index finger and your middle finger, if straight down and find a mark on that, put a little pen mark right there on your lifeline, and you should have a line that comes right in on the inside of your lifeline, touches on your lifeline right there. That's probably your Aunt Corrigula. So I was working this craft fair, And this big old burly guy walks up and he says, well, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. He says, but I'm going to have my hand read. So he sits down and puts his hand out. And I was reading his health stuff and reading what his character, his talents and everything was. I said, oh, look, my gosh. I said, you've got a guardian angel line right here when you're age 24. And he says, that's when I was in the Army. He says, then I lost a kid. He says, I lost a baby. He's about 2 years old when I was 24 years old. And I said, well, it makes a guardian angel line. And I said, those spirits come around you and watch over you the rest of your life. By the way, your male spirits will sit off to your right side, and the female will sit off to your left side.
Well, you're going to have to write your own little book on that, Kat. Let me tell you, there's a lot going on with that. A lot indeed. How many did you reject, Amy? How many stories?
You know, we reject them as they come in, so I didn't get a total count, but it was in the thousands.
Had to be.
Yeah, to get into, I mean, to get into one of our books, you really have to be in, like, the top 2% of the stories that we get. It's very hard to get in. It's a really big deal to get in, and that's why people are so thrilled. And we read every single story that is submitted. Nobody's story is ignored, so everyone has an equal shot of getting into the books.
Next up, let's go to Bountiful Utah, and it's Kenny's turn on the wild card line. Hey, Kenny, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing tonight?
Good, Kenny. Thanks for calling.
Oh, no, thank you for having me on, Amy. I'm a big fan of what you do.
Oh, thank you.
I actually was a little distracted. I've been sitting here looking at my left hand since that last caller trying to read my hand. But I actually, I've had a lot of paranormal history in my life, and my mom is very much into it. And for a while I was with like a ghost hunting type of group. And I've had a lot of really interesting, you know, situations. But very recently, 3 weeks ago, actually, someone very, very close to me, I love very much, was struck by a vehicle and passed away. And she was struck so hard that, you know, it was an open casket only for the immediate family, of course. And, you know, looked absolutely nothing like her. And when I went, you know, I was trying to hold it together. And all I really, really wanted was to see her one more time. And I went out into the car and my wife came with me and I broke down. And I'm not one that cries a lot. And I mean, I just bawled. And anyway, while we were sitting there, this just profound energy came over us. And we looked up and it just went dead silent. And this lovebird landed on the tree right in front of us, just a single soul bird, and just sat and looked at us. And I don't know how to explain it, just almost felt like a message. And anyway, the next day at the funeral, I was still very upset that I didn't get to see her. And the pastor got up. I don't know what religion it was, to be honest, and we were in the church. And once he got up, he stopped speaking about Erica. And all he talked about was Jesus. He spoke about the church and sinners and going to hell and et cetera. And I started to get very upset because, you know, this is supposed to be about her. And my wife knew I was trying to, you know, refrain from going up there to stop him. And so I closed my eyes. I was very, very, very upset. And I closed my eyes. And as I tried to breathe and relax, just clear as day, I saw her face, her real face, not that swollen mess, but her real face laying there, almost like it would be in a casket. And, you know, when you close your eyes, you see what you saw before in red, and nothing is in its normal color. And that's how she appeared. It was red, but it was her. And then her face was right in front of mine after that. And I just felt this calming wave rush over me. And I just knew at that moment everything was all right and that she was with me. And Erica had this cat that she loved more than anything. It's in every picture that, you know, she's ever had taken. And after that day, not only have I felt stronger and been able to cope with it and feel like everything's all right, but our cat continuously since that day has been playing with thin air, just jumping up and clawing at it and almost as if it's playing with something. And I just, you know, I feel like it's her. I don't know it is, obviously, but my heart tells me it is. And I just wanted to share that with you folks.
Very good. Kenny, thanks. Did you get any stories, Amy, at all about owl stories?
Owls?
Yeah.
No. You know, we got other kinds of birds, but I didn't see any about owls.
A couple of the calls I've had over the years, people have talked about owls would show up after their loved ones had died. You know, kind of like hanging around, trying to look in the window, and they just found that to be very strange.
Well, I wish I had seen one of those. Maybe I'll get one of those in the future.
Maybe. And of course, there's big barn owls, too, that almost as tall as a person. Those would be kind of scary to see. Sal is in Allentown, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, George, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thanks, Sal.
I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, U.S. United States Navy retired, reserve, course.
Thank you for serving.
Thank you. I'm also the one that emailed you about asking Bob Chapman to come back on. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, and he will.
This story happened in 1998. I was had a surveying job for the state at the time, and interesting enough, I was surveying roads where fatalities happened, you know, where people die. I have to go out and investigate the road and see, go up and down the road, check the signs to see if all the signs were there that were supposed to be there. And I was coming up around the road on the hill. It was a summer day, but it wasn't that hot. But as soon as I got up around the hill, I saw these bleach white bones. I got a cold, so please forgive me.
That's okay. No, don't worry. Don't worry about that.
I came up across this hill, and I was coming around. And right there, as soon as I saw it, it was a complete skeletal remains of what looked like a large dog or a wolf. I seen the bones of a dog and a wolf. This looked like a complete set bleach white bones of a wolf laying on the side of the road. As soon as I looked at it, a blaze of warm air came right through me and hit me, almost knocked me over. And I just felt something was wrong. I was a little shaken up. I got up. I walked out. I continued looking down the road. I went back. I forgot where the bones were. Maybe it was just my imagination, but I went back to the car. I just felt something was wrong. Went back to the office an hour later. They said a phone call came in from my mom. I called up my mom. I was told my father passed away. I went through his remains. He was in transit to see his other son, and I told my brother about this to visit him, and for some reason he didn't make the journey. One of the possessions that they gave me was a big alarm clock that he had, and it was cracked, and the time was at 3:15. I kind of had a funny feeling that might have been the time he died.
Could have been.
He died of a massive heart attack, supposedly. And I think he died around the morning because they went to knock on his door. He didn't answer. Anyway, a week later, after we did the funeral and that, I had a dream. I was walking down. For some strange reason, I thought I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I was walking down the street. On one side of me was a brick wall building. The other side was open space. I could see a railroad. And the street was quiet. All of a sudden, I hear this car come pulling up. A beautiful Porsche Saab, whatever you want to call it, a beautiful black sports car. And I see the window roll down. I hear this, come on, get in. Hey, look, I says, it was my dad. He was inside this beautiful sports car. I said, come on in. I got in. I said, Dad, are you? Is it you? And he wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't give me eye contact. He looked straight ahead, and he started driving, and we drove real fast. He said, boy, I always wanted to do this, he said. And I'm amazed in a dream. I feel like it's so real. I can actually see the texture in his jacket.
It was a great dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he's smiling. I never saw him smiling. He kept saying, boy, I always wanted to do this.
And, well, let me tell you, Sal, there's a message there. And, Amy, there's a message there that I think the departed ones want you to know that they're happy. That they're doing okay. Don't you find that to be the case in a lot of these stories?
We get so many where the person comes back, and sometimes they are, as your dad was in the sports car, we've had people report that their dear friend who had always wanted to be a ball player, they have a dream and they see their friend pitching in Yankee Stadium. They always come back in a way that makes the living person realize that they're very happy now.
I want to be in a cart where my producers are carrying me throughout the town, throwing rose petals in front of me. Wonder what the symbolism of that is, huh? I'm kidding, Amy.
Just send it in.
Yeah. Would it make it? Probably not. Let's go to Arlington, Texas. Bobby, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Got a couple minutes left. Hi, Bobby.
Listen, I don't know if you remember. You don't. You get so few calls. But I called you back. I was having a problem going to my wife's grave, and I got a hug when I got there. And that's what my family, we're all huggers.
Right.
And anyway, what you and the lady that was on that night said really helped me tremendously. But I started sliding back down. And I mean, I really went down. Now, you got to understand, I've spent my whole life since high school as a fireman, a paramedic instructor for the state of Texas, training people how to save lives and property, and have never used drugs or anything like that. But I really got down in the dumps again. And I got to the point, she was overdosed with heparin right in front of me.
Oh, jeez.
And I was going to do something really terrible.
You were that depressed?
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to do it to me.
Oh.
But I had just made up my mind, you know, and it was to the point to where I'd go to bed every night with tears in my eyes. I'd wake up every morning with tears in my eyes. I'd, you know, everything I saw was her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, now I haven't told anybody this, and I've been wanting to talk to somebody about it. And so I thought, well, I can tell millions of people this way and have total, you know, I can't think of the word. But anyway, I had set my alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning, and it went off. I got up, shaved, showered, everything, got dressed, went downstairs, and I heard something in the kitchen.
Well, you hold on, Bobby, because we're going to hit this break, and I don't want to lose your call. You're going to be the first open line caller when I come back in just a moment. And, Amy, for you, thank you so much. Anything you folks at the Chicken Soup Company need, you just get a hold of us, all right? Amy Newmark, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Messages from Heaven. I'll be back with Full Moon Friday open lines. Bobby, Arlington, Texas, you'll be number one.